Are we going good?
Yeah, playing the music. You guys are really playing with fire on when the mics were going to go hot.
What were they? Were the mics on?
They just came on.
All right.
Hey.
All right.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to GameSpot After Dark, episode number 230. Look at that.
That's what's up.
230.
Wow.
Is there a sense of surprise every time you start a podcast and you say the number and you're like, holy
kind of
shnikes.
Like, it really is.
Okay.
230.
You know what? Yeah.
I figured it'd get canceled after like 20 episodes and then.
Yeah. So as soon as I started, it was episode 6, I was talking about how Gardevoir is like the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
I figured it'd be done after that, but. Wait. Gardevoir, the Pokemon.
That's not the.
She bad.
That's not the music interviewer guy?
No.
Who?
Gardevoir. I was like, not, hold on.
Doot 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 doot.
Yeah.
Doot doot.
Anyways, 230 is going to be the dentist's favorite episode.
That voice you really just heard was Kurt Indovina.
Greetings and salutations, my friends.
We're also joined by Michael Piheim.
Hey, what it do, baby? It's your motherfucking boy.
And Jake Decker.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Jean-Luc Seipke, and I don't have anything planned to talk about this week.
Well, it's certainly exciting. I mean, I was actually thinking about this earlier going into this because it's like so many times when there's an opportunity in which a bunch of us get together, games folk, and we talk about games. We're all people who like each other. And we're friends. Fuck off. But, you know, it's like, I was kind of coming into this episode where it's like, all right, guess what? Shit news this week. Cool. Like the industry's on fire, kind of. Like it's on fire in the capacity that people are losing their jobs, and we've been talking about this to exhaustion now for a year and a half straight. And people want to talk. Basically, what I'm trying to say is like I'm more than happy to talk about that. We're gonna have to talk about it. It's the nature of what we do. But holy hot shit! I don't know if there's anything left to say other than just. Another day in observing it.
That's kind of, you kind of summed it up where like, I feel like every week it's been like, yep, another thing. And it's like, you get weirdly, in some ways you get numb to it, but in other ways you don't like, cause it like gets worse sometimes.
There was
like,
the interesting thing I think specifically today is like two news stories kind of happened on top of more layoffs or I think layoffs were announced to come and I don't even know where at this point anymore. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
But like the two things I do find it, and I'm sorry folks for like
taking
this
out. No. Sorry.
Here we are.
You're good.
But you know, that Embracer or what is it?
Fuck them.
Saber Interactive.
Got out.
And then
Toys for Bob got out.
Yes.
Wait, Saber Interactive got out from
there's the opportunity. Yeah, so it's like I think it was a $500 million deal from the get out, which means they have Knights of the Old Republic remake back in their hands. But whether or not that's still like a thing that's happening, that they still have the capacity to do that is still.
They apparently have 3,500 employees, which.
Saber is a huge company.
Yeah, Saber's
huge. For a private company.
Yeah, they're huge.
I mean, I was going to say, I mean, like, we'll get to this later, but actually, one of the games I've been playing is that this week is a Saber Interactive game that has like. Product of the Embracer Group at the beginning.
Wow.
But hearing that happen today, right, is kind of wild because it's something I was like, I'm writing a script for this game. I'll talk about it later, but I'm writing a script for this game, but I'm like, I feel like I need to mention that this is published by Embracer Group.
Yeah.
But
whole group.
Interesting. I gotta change my script
around.
Good thing I didn't
send it. And
they'll
just remove the screen.
Well, imagine like...
Yeah.
It's still published by them,
probably.
Even if they're not out.
Yeah,
like,
probably
they still
probably is.
Publish that ship. But good for them.
Yeah, good for them. Toys for Bob. Same thing.
Interesting. Apparently going to be working, like, still working out a possible partnership with Microsoft, which I find interesting. Like, they're going to be independent, but they're still going to.
For context, Toys for Bob, they did.
They did
the Spyro trilogy, they did the Crash trilogy, they did Crash 4, and they did Crash Team Racing. All of which, those have been very well received by those fans, except for I think the original Crash trilogy wasn't super well, but everything else has been very well received.
I remember that.
And so them doing a deal with Microsoft makes a lot of sense because Microsoft now owns Crash and Spyro and all that stuff.
God,
so
like, wacky. Would, what the fuck?
Yeah, right? Who owns what is fucking insane, dog.
I thought it's about. Like, I never thought about that, huh? They do own that.
They do. That's
like
weird.
I gave up my child for adoption. They took them. Yeah. Then I got another child with this other company, and then now I don't have any of them, but I want to still see them. So can I cut a deal when I get like a paid child support?
And, yeah,
I don't know. It's fucking crazy.
Weird. But I really wish. I wish those companies the best of luck. I mean, I can't imagine going private would be easy.
Yeah, and also, to jump into another piece of good news this week, I guess I didn't mean to frame this out like right out of the gate. It's just that
I
myself was thinking about it. I'd be like, I don't know what, in what way I want, like what can be said anymore and what possibly, I mean, I trust you. You, all of you are way smarter than me. So I trust whatever insight you have will be worth listening to. But the other thing I wanted to mention is also a good piece of news. Is that Remedy bought Control back?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
From 505. So that's it's true. Like, it was an interesting week of like, yeah, more layoffs. I don't even know what the hell like GDC is going to be like. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
But it was good to at least see like glimmers of like some studios who had the ability to take,
take control
back into the hands of certain things.
Yeah. So, like, right. Cool. Yeah. I think that's kind of like, I think people are looking for that, right? You're looking for those stories of like, moving forward and like, what can we do? What are, cause I, you know,
gotta own your masters. You know what I'm saying?
And that said, support your weird games, support your little weird games. Mm-hmm. What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Support your weird games. Like Pacific Drive. I like that game.
It's a weird game. Yeah.
I'm excited to play that game.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Don't look at me. I don't want to talk about it.
You only played the first hour, right?
I played an hour and I wasn't wild about
first
it, but I'm told I need to play more. So I'll play
the
more.
First hour's rough.
That's what's up.
And then it clicks and you get like the Seattle kind of like alternative rock vibe on your radio, and like I keep calling it the Death Stranding I actually enjoy playing.
Oh, wow.
What's weird
it's
is
a
waiting,
lot like Death Stranding.
Oh, okay.
Wait until you hear the game that I'm going to talk about this week that I've been playing that I'm very into and how similar it is to Pacific Drive.
Are you talking about the Saber game?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. All right, sick.
Should I just talk about it? Because the embargo just went up today.
Oh, so you can talk about it.
Sure, yeah. Do you have anything else to say about Pacific Drive? We haven't really talked about it on the podcast yet. So
we've been talking about weeb shit the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, it was just me and Michael talking about Final Fantasy for an hour. I'm so sorry, everyone.
So like Pacific Drive is actually the first new game this year that I played.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
I know, fake gamer alert.
No,
I've been playing primarily hidden object games.
Which I also want to hear more about later.
We can circle back on that. Those things I've like discovered my 55-year-old woman casual gamer era right now, and I'm having like the fucking time of my life. I've realized, you know, I love hidden object games, and I've discovered a new love for them this year. But Pacific Drive was like the first new game. I played that and Helldivers 2 in the same day, and suffice to say I started playing I left playing one more than the other, and that was Pacific Drive. I don't really have that much to say about Pacific Drive because I'm still pretty early in it, but I will say, like, you know, Jake, I'm gonna throw you on the spot because you're like, I did not like that game. He didn't say it like that. He didn't say it like Keanu Reeves, but
so was an it didn't do much for me.
But I will say, like, the first hour of that game is kind of rough. They throw a lot at you. I'm also not like a survival roguelike man in any regards whatsoever. So it's like, I know people like to be like, that seems like a Kirk game. And I'm like, why does it seem like a Kirk game? Because it's weird. Okay, cool. Which it is. So 50% of it's weird, but then the other 50% of it's like not really Kurt stuff. And I actually like, there's a lot of things that like hit me that are on a personal level about that game. One, my dad is a car mechanic. And so there's like a really distinct moment when I was like in the garage fixing my car up and like the jukebox was playing in the background that like it brought me back to the feeling of sitting in a garage while mechanics worked on cars and like the radio hits played. And it was like this very like, oh my God, like I feel this in a weird way. But then the other part of it is that it just does, there's just something really, this is the Death Stranding part of it. Like it is a world that you don't understand that is like locked away from the rest of the world. There are people trapped in it that you don't see, but they are communicating with you. And then there are beings in that world who seem like they're remnants of humans in the past. And it's like, this is straight up Death Stranding, even down to the point, like I'm just trudging through this world, collecting items that bring back to a place. And as I keep going in, my car gets better. And like the act of traversing like the world, like a terrain is in of itself like an enemy, like, you know, like an enemy to how you right. work with it. And I was like, wow, this is a Death Stranding I'm actually liking. So that's all. I just I'm not too far in it, but it's like, it's weirdly satisfying bits. And also has like a weird Half-Life vibe that's like fucking getting me all like jibby wibbly.
I definitely felt the Half-Life vibe
like,
when I
There's things in the world that like mess with your car that remind me of Half-Life 2, things that would like strap onto your vehicle when you were driving through that game as well. So anyways, that's all I gotta say right now.
Cool. I want to get back to it. I do. I played the first hour and the tutorial is a lot where it's just like, all right, now put this on your car. Now put this on your car. Now
here's this menu with 10,000
options. And disassemble this door and disassemble this and then turn that into this. And I was like, I thought I just got to drive from point A to point B. So I think I need to go back to it.
The moment I was let go, like in the world and like given like a good solid hour to like get to grips with my problem, like, you know, like actually like opening the crafting thing and like seeing the specific things I needed to craft, it started like falling in place. But that game does like throw, like, here's a garage, here's six different stations to do six different things at. And I was like, this is a lot. I don't know if this is going to be for me, but it's doing it. And it's a weird little game by a small team. You know, I think it's really cool that they have like Sony exclusivity there. And like, so it's like, you know, I was happy to play a new game by a small studio doing something interesting that like I felt good supporting and like throwing money at.
Yeah, Pacific Drive is crazy. Well, my homegirls was she's a writer on the game.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, oh, so. Awesome.
Nice.
Shouts out to Carrie, who used to do stuff for Arc System Works, and then she moved on to
okay, cool.
Annapurna, and then moved on to do this. So
nice.
I might peep that just to support the homies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, like that, I've been playing a game called Expeditions.
Expeditions.
Which is a Mud Runner game. I don't know if you're familiar with the Mud Runner series, but it is a...
Isn't it literally called Expedition, a Mud Runner game in the title?
Yes, it is, which is a bad title. It is a bad title.
It seems like an embracer.
Every level.
It seems like an embracer sort of like...
A Dutch runner?
What are people going to Google? A Mud Runner game. Quote, a Mud Runner game.
Where you go on expeditions.
Yeah,
and,
mm-hmm.
A Dutch Rudder game. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
But yeah, I mean, like Pacific Drive, it is basically about getting from point A to point B, but the terrain is all wacky. You're driving through mud, you're driving through
Mud Runner.
through like rocks and driving up cliffs and stuff, but it gives you a bunch of tools to make that somewhat easier. But it really comes down to just like the journey of getting to point A to point B is really fun because there's all these obstacles in your way and you can navigate them in very creative ways that, you know, the developer probably didn't predict, but they gave you the tools where you could feasibly do it. So it feels more like a puzzle game than anything else.
You are selling me so fucking hard.
Where you explore, and it is like very meditative, because when you get in it and when you start to figure out the controls, it's just kind of, it's meditative. You just, the music plays and I'm just kind of zoning out, and then hours pass and I'm like, oh, I should stop playing this. I should do
game of the year worthy.
I haven't played enough, probably not. I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I know reviews dropped today because I was watching some of them. I'm not doing a review because I don't have time to play enough to do a review, but I am putting together a little feature video for it, just kind of going over what it is, what it's about.
Is there a story, or are you just running
kind of so like it? The Mud Runner and Snow Runner games, I played a little bit of them, and those are, from what I remember, they're open world experiences where there are missions, but you kind of like find your own fun in those. This one's a little more focused in that there are two maps, each with, I think, like 40 missions or something like that, and they give you like very clear objectives. So it's like, all right, you need to go from here to here, and there'll be like a little bit of flavor text telling you what it is. Like, I did one mission where it's like, we've heard stories that there's like a important landmark that people can't find. We want to get photos of it. So like you basically drive to an area, pull out a drone, scout around, you find it, drive over to that area, and then you like take pictures, and then it's like mission complete. And then
rain starts falling and your car starts getting old.
So there is rain, but there's no time fall or whatever.
And then Fragile's like, I'm not fragile, I'm fragile. Whatever the fuck the line is.
Yeah.
I'm fragile. Or...
So there's no story, basically.
Good. My God.
But I'm enjoying it quite a bit. Like I said, it's very meditative. There is a co-op mode but it's not in the game yet. And for some reason, a co-op mode seems like it would work very well in this style of game. Like, I imagine I'd have a lot of fun with just another person, and we're just kind of driving around this world, exploring, finding random missions and messing around, getting cars stuck, and you can, like, winch other cars and stuff if they get stuck.
You wrench?
Yeah. So, like, you know, if my buddy gets stuck in mud, I'm like, don't worry, I got you. And
yeah, hit him with the Dutch rudders. Yeah. You get him out of there.
Seems like a real game for dads.
It is. It certainly is. Yeah.
What's that game we mentioned last week? Was it the one Drew Scanlon played a lot on UPF? The car, Summer Car? I was talking to someone else. Never mind. I was talking to somebody else about it.
You talking about my uncle's jalopy?
No.
I mean, that's a game you just mentioned to me.
I mentioned it to you. Yeah. We're talking about Pacific Drive.
There's like a game very similar to like both of these called My Summer Car, something like that. That's what's up.
Cool.
You know what I'm saying?
Tell me about it.
You build your car, you work on your car, and then you like drive off places and discover things and do little objectives like find this shit or
I think
like,
it is my uncle's jalopy. I'm pretty sure that's what he's talking
really?
About.
Really? All right. Well, maybe there's multiple of these games. I've
there
seen,
could be.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a simulator for anything.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So that's what's up. Sick.
Cool. All right. Well, if Jake's been playing games for dads, Kurt, tell me about your games for moms.
I feel like I've been talking a lot, but yeah, I'll
it's been a while since I've heard you talk, so. Give me what I want.
You can call me.
That's what I came for. Yeah. I was thinking about texting you the other day because I missed you.
Yeah, I would have kissed you through the phone.
Okay.
I would have complimented you as thanks. I am always like, what you wearing? So now you know what me and Michael's relationship
is
like.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I send shirtless pics of me.
I actually do have one.
Yeah.
You in bed, but wearing a hat. Like, yeah. You're wearing like a sick, like, brimmed hat. Okay, so. I feel like I've unlocked an important part of the next step in my life, my gaming life.
Congrats.
So I've been playing what are called HOPAs, also known as Hidden Object Puzzle Adventure Games.
I love that
there's
an acronym.
Oh, there's like five acronyms, because there's like HOG, which is just, you know, like Hidden Object Game. But there's HOPAs, and then there's like HOPOGs. Like, there's all these acronyms for different versions and styles. Because
this is an iceberg.
There is such a beautiful rabbit hole for hidden object games, and I've been saying this, probably pacing back and
what
forth.
What is a hidden object game?
Okay, let's start there. A hidden object game. It's like, I mean, it's kind of hard to explain.
Sure.
It's not, because like the basis is you have It is usually a screen filled with lots of objects, and then you are given a list of objects to find. It's basically I spy a game. The thing that makes hidden object games so interesting is that over the past, maybe since like, I want to say 2011 was like the turning point, is where these games started becoming story games that involved adventure game elements that had puzzle solving in like the world, but usually would work by going and finding a hidden object area, and when you're done doing the hidden objects, you then get an item that you can use for a puzzle somewhere else in the world. They are extremely overly detailed. Like, all these games feature just immaculate, overly lit, like pieces of art that have six lighting sources, 5 million objects, and it's like somehow like photorealistic, and like to the point where like it almost looks like AI generated art.
Yeah.
But it's handmade, and it's been handmade.
They're not AI. I fully expect them to eventually become AI generated.
Yeah. Unfortunately. But like, my big thing is like, I love puzzle. I love like point and click puzzle adventure games. And they're not that much different than that. The difference is puzzle adventure games from like the 90s, like point and click ones like Grim Fandango, those are story games where the puzzles uplift the story. Like, the puzzles are the agency for the story. Hidden object games are the opposite, where it's like the puzzles are the focus and the story is just there to give you a little like push to want to care about going to the next things. The stories are fucking nonsense. Jean-Luc, I'm going to quote you because you did an excellent job. It's basically they're like the Lifetime Hallmark movie equivalent.
Yes.
But for games. So like, it's always like a female protagonist. There's literally, you know, like there's movies, it's like the type of thing where it's like, girl, like, they're all gothic, they usually have like gothic
goth
weird...
girls.
No,
so they're no, like gothic, a lot of them are like Victorian gothic with like fairy tale kind of energy.
Yeah,
you know, there's a multiple of them based on the Nutcracker.
Yes.
Hey yo,
there are ones that are like straight up Hallmark, like 30-year-old woman comes back to her hometown.
Is this like Nancy Drew but gothic?
Kinda. I mean, Nancy Drew is far more actual like
puzzle adventure
game than these, but yeah, like there's like girl goes back to small hometown and she's like seeing her family and oh, there's her friend from high school that she hasn't seen in forever and like, oh, maybe they'll get together on Christmas and Day and you're like, this is literally like a Hallmark original channel movie.
But then you take that same plot line and
but I'm doing like, I Spy in the middle of it.
and then you can apply it to any genre imaginable. You just like, he's a vampire in one.
Yes.
Or he's Frankenstein's monster in one. Or he's a werewolf.
You turn into a nutcracker.
Or he's like, or like, you know, it turns out like your love interest is actually a priest who's like sacrificing women in the bottom of a cave. This is one of the games I played.
Yeah, some of them get weird.
And I played four over the past few weeks. And two of them are actually fantastic.
How long do they take on average? I imagine them only being like a couple hours, but do they?
I mean, they're puzzles, so it depends. But yeah. I play on expert mode. So that's the great thing. All these offer
expert mode mean on these?
All these offer all these games offer like it's the standard for two modes. It's the casual mode or there's expert mode. And basically casual mode will like show you hints on screen naturally.
Okay.
Or like give you the option to skip certain puzzles. Advanced mode is like you're given no hints whatsoever. You like all the hidden object screens are like 20 items and they're extremely difficult or use like absurd vocabularies that describe very common items. Like I keep asking, do you know what Michael might know. Do you know what a burgie is?
A burgie? That's what you get from McDonald's.
Do you know really?
I don't know what's a real burgie.
Okay, exactly. So I was like staring at a fucking screen being like, what is a burgie? And it's basically a pendant flag. It's like a name, it's like an actual name for a pendant flag.
Burgies.
But they use those type of things to trick you into finding these objects. Anyways, but advanced mode is like you'll find yourself doing hidden like the same hidden object screen multiple times with different items to find. Anyways, so yeah, advanced mode is where it's at. And so to answer your question, like I think the True Fear, I think I spent like 8 hours on both True Fear games, and then I played one called Ignimatis. I can never say the name. There's like five of those, and that one was only like 5 hours. It wasn't very. I didn't love it, but apparently that's the one that like changed the landscape for hidden object puzzle adventure games.
So it's like the Half-Life of hidden object games.
Yeah, but bad.
Whoa.
Yeah,
okay.
Like, but not good. And I played two called True Fear: Forsaken Souls, Part One and Part Two, and they fucking ruled.
So check those.
Yes.
True Souls, Forsaken
True
Souls.
Fear, Forsaken Souls.
True Fear.
True Fear, Forsaken Souls. I'm playing one right now called Dracula's Legacy.
I thought that was a Castlevania game you mentioned.
No, it's a hidden object game.
True Fear, Forsaken Souls is as bad as Expedition of Mudrunner.
yeah, part one
what
and
the
part
fuck
two.
Are y'all talking about?
And the thing is, the thing why I think I'm getting so excited about this is like, first, I was doing a lot of research. And
this one looks kind of sick.
It is kind of sick. It's really good.
Two Fears, Four Souls.
Yes.
Yeah.
One coming up.
Yeah.
But like,
why am I so short right now? What the fuck is going on?
It's because that chair doesn't stay up.
Yeah. Just like me for real.
The Nutcracker, as they call you. True Fear, Rose. So this is where I'm getting most excited. I was doing a lot of research on these games because I've always seen them and I've always had like a morbid curiosity about them. And now I just said, fuck it, I'm doing it. It is such a rabbit hole because there are so many. They all have like five sequels or more. They like, you go on Steam and these games have like thousands of reviews. Like there is like a dedicated fan base for these things. And when I looked up that fan base, it's 55 plus women. And I'm like, so I'm right there.
Hell yeah.
I'm right there with them.
I'm willing to bet.
That's just like my recommended
There's
feed.
Two demographics for these kind of games.
Kurt.
No. 50 plus women. Yes. And then I bet if you turn on the not safe for work, if you turn off the not safe for work filter,
got hentai hidden object
game. So, there are so many like low lift horrendous.
But
like,
this is actually you bring up my next point, which is where I feel like this genre has so much left on the table.
Yeah,
because you might be right. I haven't looked
frankly. I think Jake's about to.
I am going to.
Well, the big thing with these hidden object games is a lot of them come out on iPad and like mobile, so they might there might not be as many like not safe for work ones.
But
you've
been playing them on Steam, though,
but I've been playing them on console
and
PC.
But they, I think mobile's their main target. They're probably like most the moms are probably not playing it on the. They're not. They don't got their Steam accounts loaded up.
No,
they don't got Steam decks.
Yeah, they don't got Steam decks. They're playing this on.
I'm playing Dragon's Legacy on my Steam Deck.
Well, good for you.
$2.99 on Steam, as a heads up.
Use offer code Kurt. Or 55 plus.
Kurt's
milfs.
Your grandma. But you, no, you're absolutely right. So like, I'm interested to see. But the thing that boggles my mind the most is it's like earlier how we were talking about like the lifetime hallmark. Plot line that can be pushed into any genre or setting, Victorian, cyberpunk, whatever that exists out there.
Sure.
The thing that boggles my mind is also the perfect formula in which you can basically apply any IP to it and like it will like just sell its like self to a casual demographic. Like this is the perfect like place to do like, where's the X-Files hidden object game? Where's the Twin Peaks one? Where it's like I'm like Game of Last of Us, like Game of Thrones, like anything, like it's the perfect like blanket sort of like template to just be like,
it feels like one of those genres that kind of like is getting ignored, but like it's like, yeah, it's like they don't think that way. They're not thinking about like, they're like, oh, our brand, you know, we gotta do this. It's like, why not, where's my Witcher object game?
But instead we get like shit fucking mobile games that are fucking like genuine crap, and like hidden object games follow a formula that aren't bad, they're just like trite, but like they work, you know. That's like, that's where I get like, you know, kind of huffed up about it. But anyways, all I'm saying is that, did you find something, Jake?
So maybe it's not as big of like a subset of these games.
There's
but
so
there's
much
definitely
the
some.
There's a couple.
There's definitely some. Great. I can't do them. Should I read some of the titles?
Are you on work Wi-Fi?
I am. Yeah, I wonder if that's an issue.
No, I can do it. I'm not an employee.
Vampire Mansion.
That's normal.
Well, yeah. Do you want me to click in though? And then you can.
Yes. I want to see Hog.
I clicked in and I was like, yeah, that's definitely one. Oh, yeah.
Gay.
Perky little things.
What objects are you finding in there? Yeah.
Escape from the Room of the Serving Doll. Spooky Milk Life.
Spooky Milk Life.
That's what they saw this one. That is intriguing.
Well, I have some research to do tonight.
Spooky Milk Life.
But all I'm saying is that...
they're all horror, though. They're like...
That's the thing. They're so... like, wait, like
they don't have to be horror.
No. Yeah. But like, anyways, like, where's the basketball hidden object game?
Hell yeah!
Like, I'm just, all I'm saying is like, it's gotten my brain going and getting excited, and like, they're also the perfect balance of where like they are casual, they are kind of monotonous, but the puzzles actually can be difficult, and it makes my brain feel good when I do them. Some of them, True Fear has like some genuinely good puzzles. Some of them are, you know, you see them sort of deal in other games, but. That is what I've been playing. Like, Pacific Drive is the first new game this year that actually like took a step back and was like, I should probably play something new. Like, it's like, I feel like it's my due diligence, my position, like, to like try and like play some of these new games. I mean, after the end of the year, I like took a step back in general. It was just like, I need to flow it out a little bit and play things for me. And those things were True Fear, Forsaken Souls Part 1 and Part 2.
Two Fears, Forsaken Souls.
And it's getting a third one. That's how good they are.
Two, three, Forsaken.
Three Fears, three six fears Saken Souls.
Yeah, I can't do it.
And like a lot of these companies, none of them are American. Like a lot of them are Polish. There's a lot of Polish hidden object game developers in Germany.
Got a cyberpunk one going.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I saw somebody who wrote True Fear, Forsaken Souls, Dimitri something or another. I think he may have actually worked on, I think he may have contributed something for CDPR at some point. I mean, it's a small community over there, as far as I know. So,
Kurt, you know how you get this genre popping and get people excited?
Kurt Locker.
Well, there's that, because you do just make things happen like, with those.
I do. Yeah, and I am the soothsayer as my last name.
Now I was gonna say, man, you get Kojima to make an object game.
I don't touch my...
That's what OD is about.
What if OD was just a hidden object game? Yeah. Like, that's what he gives Microsoft?
Yeah.
I mean, then I'd be like...
Phil Spencer's like, what the fuck, man?
I mean, that's probably... I mean, dude,
people are treating the trailer like a fucking hidden object game. They're like pausing and constantly look, there's a tooth in his mouth. like there's his teeth and
a
tongue.
That's crazy.
It's like, this is like nothing you've ever played before.
Yeah, it's everything. Yeah. Oh my, that's what I'm saying. Kojima's going to put out a hidden object game and he's going to use the same line he does every single time. He's going to be like, it's like a game, but it's like a movie and you've never experienced anything like it before. And it's going to be a fucking hidden object game. It's just going to be True Fear, Forsaken Souls, OD.
Imagine just like the most expensive cutscene though, like leading into it, and then all of a sudden you just get to the still image and you're like poking.
Except all the 55 plus year old women who are going to play are going to fall asleep during the 45 minute cutscene he's put together.
I mean, I probably would too.
Yeah, exactly. So do I want them to pick? How do I? I think they already, I think the point is like there's clearly a really good market, and as I see the gaming world crumble around us,
everyone
pivot
to
I'm seeing hidden object games that like are having sequels and news updates and audiences that are engaging with it, like waiting like for it. So it's like, I don't know. I think that's the boat I'm hopping on.
Well,
right,
I was talking about that the other day with Nancy Drew about how like they had a formula. They were making those games on the cheap, and they made two of them a year for 20 fucking years. Yeah. Like, they just had it. They had it figured out, and then they ruined it.
Because they went to
Unity, and they were like, "No, we'll make a real game now." And then like it all fell apart. Damn. So they should have just stuck with the formula.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, and I also find this a really good gateway for people who like love Myst.
Sure.
There's very Myst-like qualities to playing these games, but a little bit more like sped up. And maybe not as like intertwining as some of those puzzles are. It makes batshit like no sense. Those games, like, you know, you like will go and unlock, you'll have to find a very specific kind of screwdriver to open a vent in a wall that is encased in ice. And in order to get the screwdriver, you have to like find a soap bar, and the screwdriver's in the soap bar, but you have to like melt the soap bar down or get a knife to cut open the soap bar. But then you like get the screwdriver and it's covered in rust, and then you have to get oil to clean the rust off of it. But then you have to go and like find a generator to like heat up the wall so the ice melts so you can unscrew it. And by the time you get in there, the key that you need is inside another key that's like encased in barbed wire. So you need to go get bolt cutters to go do it. Like, I'm not joking. These are the puzzles in True Fear. It's like puzzles on puzzles on puzzles on puzzles, and they make fucking zero sense. So I fucking love it. But the moment I like open a teddy bear after like pouring like acid on it that I found in like grandma's shoebox, and like I see like a screwdriver or a ruler inside the bear, I'm like, oh my God, I know what to do with this. And, like, I like know exactly where I have to go in the world to go measure something to then use that to like cut a piece of wood and put it inside a wedge somewhere. It's fucking, I love it.
Hopas.
Damn.
So yeah, but I'm like, I'm not exaggerating. What I just said, half of that was real puzzles that I had to deal with. Like, it was I believe it.
I know you're not lying.
Yeah.
Damn. That's what's up.
All right. Thanks, folks, for having me on this week.
Hopas.
So go play it. Just try it. They're cheap. I implore you, just buy one. Give it a shot. And if you don't like it, I'll send you an apology letter.
Handwritten. Yeah,
stamp.
He will.
I will.
I've received those. Not apology letters, but letters. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Michael, for saying what I said to your shirtless picture with the hat you sent me. I'll consider it. And also, don't fucking say you had a bad time just so you get a written apology letter, by the way. Like, be honest with me.
Okay. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Damn.
Cool. I'll get one. I'll try it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Here we go.
Okay, I'll give it a try. I'll do the Milkers one.
Who needs
the
Hideo?
Scary Milkers. Or
yeah.
It was
who needs a spooky milk club? Or whatever it was.
Spooky milk. Yeah.
Who needs Kojima to make a game? This is how it works. I just start telling people it's good.
What can we make our own?
I want to.
Jake took a game making class.
I was saying we should just start pitching it to game devs. Like, hey, we'll turn your Listen, your IP into.
Hey,
GDC is in a couple weeks, bro.
Hey, I know everything's on fire over there at Naughty Dog, or in the world of gaming. But
for the low cost of $50,000,
you couldn't do your multiplayer game. However, give us a couple weeks and maybe a bite to eat.
We still got a ways to go before GTA 6. How about we soften that timetable?
This making is a GTA like a fucking no-brainer business thing to me. It's like, it's just like, all right, we don't have, all right, games coming out, or if you delay a game, you soften the blow with
Here's
your hidden object game instead.
Sorry, Elder Scrolls 6 doesn't come out yet, but don't worry.
I would fucking go so hard on an Elder Scrolls hidden object game. Like, I would be so pumped.
That would be, yeah.
To do that. Insane. Kids,
keep the hope alive.
They're there. Hoppas, an object puzzle adventure.
Hop on this dude.
Hop on this.
Yeah.
All right, we need to move on to what I don't know. Well, you mentioned Myst, and it reminded me that I played Homebody a few weeks ago, and I never actually had talked about it. For those who don't know, that is a horror game made by some of the people who made Dream Daddy. Everyone remembers that?
Yes.
The visual novel where you date hot dads. But they made a horror game where I don't want to give too much of the premise away, but it's basically like a love letter to games like Myst,
Nightmare Daddy,
as well as Seventh Guest.
Sick.
They specifically reference Seventh Guest.
Really?
Like in a...
Do you find eyeballs in a cake?
No, there's one of the characters is a gamer, and they're talking about old games, and they talk about Seventh Guest at one point, and I was like, I know what you're doing. Or Clock Tower, I would say, because basically the premise is you are stuck in a... You are... A person who is visiting a cabin to like hang out with your friends for the weekend, and you get to this cabin, and then a killer shows up and starts trying to kill you, and you have to like escape the killer and solve a bunch of puzzles in this house because it has like it turns out like the basement and has just like these Myst style weird puzzles you have to do, and.
I think you said, is it console or PC only?
It's PC only at the time. It's on Steam. It is, I think it's extremely well made. It's got that kind of low poly PS1 sort of aesthetic to it.
Look a little bit more stylized.
A little more stylized than that. It's got like the fixed camera angle thing. You know, kind of reminds me of, you know, obviously you'd think Resident Evil, but even like the original Alone in the Dark kind of in some ways, I would say.
Yeah, I forgot that's coming out this month.
That is. I'm very curious about that.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
We'll see.
But it's really good. It was a game that I just like did not want to put down. Like as I played it, like the way it does its puzzles is incredibly smart and fun. Its storytelling is super interesting. Again, I don't want to give too much away, but it's more than it seems at first glance. And, a lot of the game is about sort of like mental health and kind of like the characters like the main character is, I forget what the term would be, but like she's a homebody in like a literal sense. Like she doesn't like leaving her house, and so like
agoraphobic,
that's the term. So like her coming to this event is like a big deal for her because she like basically like moved away from her friends, had been like in the city for a few years, didn't communicate with them, not because she didn't want to, but because she just like didn't know how. And so like feels like a lot of anxiety about that. And you have some characters who are like, no, it's fine. And like other characters are like kind of being huge dicks about it, but they also have their own issues going on. So like after playing the game, you're kind of like learning more about these characters and like what their deal is. It's really cool. Like I think that game is really, really special. And I highly recommend it if anyone hasn't played it. It came out like mid last year. I remember picking it up, being like, I gotta play this. And then I just like never had the chance. And I didn't finally touch it until beginning of this year, but I do not regret it. It's a great game.
Yeah, I was eyeing it down earlier. What about your Milk Jugs games?
Whoa.
What?
Excuse me. You don't want to know about that. What was that about?
It's probably inappropriate. I was
like in the zone listening to Jean-Luc. I'm just like, wow, this is really fascinating. And then Kurt turns to me and says, hey, milk jugs, am I right? Like, fuck yeah, dog. Trust me, I've seen some shit.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude. That's crazy. I haven't been playing any hentai games.
I wasn't
just to be clear.
I thought you were talking about just Final Fantasy after all that.
Oh well, actually, okay. Yo, yeah, okay. Now people are playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, yeah. And they know what the deal is with the one Tifa Lockhart. So,
uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make it the Costa del Sol, and you'll see.
Dude, that outfit is
some
fucking
real. Some real.
That outfit's fucking ugly.
Oh yeah, it's terrible.
It's so awful.
I chose the other one for her.
Oh,
the
I
other
did
one
too.
Looks sick. It's like, yeah. Oh, that's a cool outfit. The other one is like,
is this
ugly,
the one
but
the one with the jeans?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
With the jean shorts. Yeah.
I know it's about it. But yeah,
I mean, you wrote a review, obviously.
I did, yes.
Yeah, because I, you know, the one thing I've noticed online is that no one's really talking about whether or not the game is good.
Yes, I spent 3,000 words talking about Tifa's outfits at Costa del Sol. Oh my god.
Hey man, if Fanbyte was still around, that would have been a little mini review.
That would have been a mini. Yeah, yo, we would have had a micro review.
Micro review,
yeah,
that's what
micro review. Hey, damn, I miss micro reviews. Bring Fanbyte back. You know what I'm saying?
You could do some micro reviews.
Michael reviews. Yeah, there you go.
Just start your own thing.
Fanbyte 2. Let's go. Let's fucking get it. Get some funding over to my boy John Warren. We'll do it. We talked about it last week, all episode, but yeah, it's an incredible game.
I mean, but that's like, have you only been playing that, or are you finally taking a break?
The review embargo was last week, so since then I've been able to engage in other things. Mm-hmm. So it's been 82 hours playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth for 3 weeks total, and that I'm in the zone. That's all I thought about. That's all I played. It kind of just dictated my life for a while, which I was perfectly fine with, because I absolutely loved that game up until the final 3 hours of it. So
that's how long that final part is.
Ish.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, you play I play a game for 82 hours. The last 3 hours are like
off
the rails in a bad way. You know, what are you gonna do?
For context, Kurt, who's not gonna play this game, went into a room with our editor Max and just had him explain what happened in the ending to him.
Yeah.
So Kurt knows what happens.
Yeah, I was just like,
he really doesn't.
Because also, does he?
Like, I basically was like, I played the original. I know what happens. Like, I can't. I have really mixed feelings on remake, and I have no. I'm just not gonna play Rebirth. And I walked into work and I was like, looking at Max, who I know has been, I was like, you know what, fuck it. And I was like, can you come in this room? And I was like, just tell me the ending. Just tell it all to me. And he said a bunch of shit.
Yeah. and I bet none of it made sense.
And I think, I think I asked questions.
Yeah.
That Max was like, yeah, I think you're right. But I was like, I don't assume anything I'm saying right now is right, because I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm just trying to make sense of it is all. So I know what happens.
Yeah. Well, you can ask 10 different people what happens at the end of this game. You'll get 10 different answers.
Ask me.
No, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do that on this podcast.
Yeah, tweet at me and I'll...
The
and
game
I'll
just came out last night, so...
Yeah, Kurt will send you a letter in the mail.
I'll handwrite you the ending to Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah.
And every letter I send out is going to be different.
Damn.
But all correct.
Yeah, but all of it's going to be correct. And you'll have to find the correct. You'll have to find
combine the letters,
the letters, and find.
This is a hidden object.
Yeah, everyone's got to meet up in my letters
and put their letters together.
If you put your letters together, you're gonna get a hidden object board.
Maybe we just can't comprehend the ending of Rebirth because it is a hidden object game. So you gotta like watch it,
man. That's like life.
And like frame by frame,
yeah.
Find different objects. Then you put. Actually,
that sounds like
now that you mention it, there is an element of that in the ending that will tell you about what the fuck they're trying to do with this.
Wait,
ending.
Really?
Yes. I'll tell you about it after the podcast.
Well, don't tell me.
Oh, actually, what the fuck? You haven't
don't tell me. I haven't finished it yet.
I haven't played it.
Okay, I'll tell you. Yeah.
Tell Max as well.
I'll tell Max because there is an element of that that like says something.
You and Max go into a room to talk about it and Kurt's just there like,
having the time of my life.
Oh my god. Anyway, I've been playing other things besides Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah.
Finally. One is Balatro.
Oh, I've been playing that too.
Yeah, Balatro. I fucking hate that game. And then there are times I fucking love that game. Balatro is the purest distillation of highest highs and lowest lows. You will feel so fucking terrible, and you will feel like shit when you make it to the last row of boss fights, whatever, and then you just come up short. So the long story short is, if you don't know what Balatro is, it's a poker game, but it's a deck building poker game. So you have a 52 deck of cards, and you have to basically play different hands to earn a certain amount of chips. And each quote unquote enemy is just like, make this many chips in mm-hmm. like five hands mm-hmm. or four hands, however many hands that run gives you. So I'm like, okay, I'll play a flush and then I'll get like 200 something. And then I'll play a two pair and like, okay, cool. I've made 300 onto the next round. So that's how that works. The thing is, as you go on, you build your deck, and there are so many like what's the word?
Modifiers.
There's so many modifiers that change how powerful your different hands are. So what I like to do is I always do like flush based runs. So you get a higher multiplier. You get more chips for playing a flush, and then sometimes you can get
you level up your flushes. Yeah, so level, like yes. You get more points. Yeah.
So you're playing an RPG. You're building a 52 card deck. In an RPG sense, I'm specking into flushes. Like, that's a crazy thing to say, but I upgrade my flushes, and then I have.
And you can like get rid of suits, so you can be like you can be like turn all like spades into diamonds or something.
Specking into diamonds, and then I could have something that's like anytime you play a diamond card, you get +4 multiplier. So then, if I do a diamond flush. That's like a +20 multiplier because I play all diamonds, and then it calculates each diamond card +4 multiplier on top of the chips you get for playing that card. So it is, and that is just like one strat that I've been having some pretty good success with. And I'm going to keep trying, but there's so many other ways because there are so many different poker hands. You can turn a three of a kind into like the most fucking powerful card you can play. You can do like upgrade your three of a kind, also get like a +20 multiplier to play three of a kind. And if you there's also one is like if you play a hand that's three cards or less, you get another +20 multiplier. So it's like, okay, now I'm gonna spec into three of a kind runs. And then you can open up other packs to say, hey, you can turn all your twos into threes, and then you can modify this card, turn your king into a three, and then you like spec into threes, and then okay, I'm just going to have three of a kind of threes all the fucking time and get these wild multipliers. So the way you manipulate a 52 card deck is some next level thinking. Like the rules of Balatro is some big brain type shit, galaxy brain type shit. So the fact that they thought of how to make a poker and a 52 card deck into this wild deck building RPG style roguelite is... It is one of the most creative things I have seen in a game in a good long while. Of course, using a card deck and poker as a foundation, you know, lets them build upon that. Those rules were already been set for a very long time. So but manipulating those rules, playing with those rules in the structure that they're given is some wild shit. I will say, though, it is fucking frustrating because sometimes it's not only is a 52 card deck RNG already, but like the modifiers that you can unlock from round to round are also based in RNG. And you open up packs that are also based in RNG. So it's very hard to... You have to be very lucky if you want to build your deck. Of course, the way you adapt to the modifiers that you're given is part of the challenge. But I think once you get deep into a run, what you realize is that you really need to spec specific things to even reach the chip amounts that are asked of you for the different rounds. Like I had all kinds of modifiers and shit. Maybe I just need to play smarter, but I played a really good set of hands and I still came up short.
Have you finished a run?
Yeah, I finished a run like last night.
I haven't finished
it. All the blue deck is the easiest one to do.
That's the one where you have extra discards, right?
You get an extra hand.
Or extra hand. Okay.
So like that's super helpful, of course. So that's like the easiest one to clear. But even then with that one, it's like, hey, you need to make 30,000 chips on this final boss. And I'm like, okay, well, I hope I get a fucking diamond and like discard these. I have one hand. Yeah. And then I had a modifier that's like, hey, on your last hand, we'll recalculate the cards twice over. So you get double the chips. And I'm like, I barely clear. I'm like, fuck, man. The other, they have different rule sets, and that's how like the different routes you can take with this. But Balatro, oh my god,
that game came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I just feel like I woke up one day and it was like
everyone
had it. And everyone was playing it. Everyone was talking about it.
It was like the same night Advent Children was in theaters.
It was bonkers. And the only thing I knew is that it has a
John David Booty.
John, yeah. It uses the depiction of John Wayne Gacy, who is one of the most terrible serial killers in the world in history. Is like one of the cards, and that's how I knew it. I was like, "What the fuck is this game?" Yeah, like that was like my first introduction. I was like, "Why do I see John Wayne Gacy's clown face on a card? Like, what the fuck is this?" And that, so I haven't played it yet, but I do have it. My question is like, is that the tone? Like, what is the tone of the game that like that they're using? They're like using imagery like that.
There's like not really a tone. Obviously there's a tone, but it's just like it's just kind of like.
It's like a lo-fi.
Like Hotline Miami, I guess.
I wasn't sure if it was like trying, like, because basically where I was going was like, is I was trying to see if there was like this like
meta narrative.
Yeah, you know, it's like we had games like Inscription, you know, that yeah, had like yeah. games within games. And
Queen's
like,
Blood.
Yeah, and it's like it's those games are, you know, when you really start to unpack what they are in themes.
There's another
up.
Layer. Yeah.
Yeah, and like so when I saw that, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, all right, interesting. No.
I haven't completed any runs. I haven't played a whole lot, but like I'm pretty sure it is just that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But it's really good. It's hard to put down. Like once, like you just keep doing runs. Like fail a run, start up a new one. Fail a run, start up a new one. And like, it is frustrating. Like I'll have hands where it's just, or I'll have runs where it's just like, I've been given nothing.
Yeah.
And then I'll do another one, and I'll get nothing. And then I'll do another one, and then I'll kind of start to get something, and then I'll fail and like. Yeah, I've felt those high highs and low lows, but I still haven't finished a run yet. But.
Sounds like going to Vegas.
Kinda. That's what it is, man. You're playing decks of cards and relying on your luck.
Except if you go to the roulette table with me.
Why?
You just lose.
I always walk away from a roulette table with
a big W?
Like, with hundreds.
Really?
Wow. Every time.
That's fucking good.
People have witnessed it.
Last time I was in Vegas, I was with a friend and I was with a couple friends and we started with $20 and we're just like, just black every time. Black, 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 black. Walked out with $600.
Yep.
Nice.
I always put it on red.
Nice. All
good thing you weren't there.
I know.
Putting it on red because then
you would have been negative $600.
Yeah. If I could get a Balatro, which sounds like a spice seasoning on my burrito.
Hey, Balatro. Balatro rigatoni.
Scary roulette game. I would play that. I'm going to play Balatro anyways because I have it, but I'm just, you know.
Balatro
fettuccine. I don't want real life serial killer depictions in them, but I do like spooky stuff.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. So Balatro's fucking, ugh. I hate that game so much, but I'm going to go home and play it some more. Fuck.
Unless you play True Fear for Sacred Souls.
5 Fears, 10 Sacred Souls. I started a replay of Final Fantasy VIII.
Sick.
So
oh wow.
Final Fantasy VIII is fucking sick, dude.
I love that game.
That game is wild.
I didn't have Final Fantasy VII when I was younger. I had it on PC, but it always crashed at the first boss.
I hate this dude.
So it took me years to actually play through Final Fantasy VII. Instead, I had Final Fantasy VIII, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Like, I loved it. So that and 9 are like my two.
Yeah, yeah. I played 8 back in when it was on PS1 with my brother. I replayed it not too long ago, but didn't like do a full playthrough of it. I got to a certain point, just like moved on to something else. This time I'm actually sitting down to understand the game and play it by like its own rules.
Right.
Not using any like hacks or cheats or anything. You click the sticks and like, hey, you get full limit break or whatever the fuck. Like I'm trying to play the game as intended and I have finally figured out the draw junction system. I have figured it out, dog. My brain is so big. Not only am I like, just tearing it up with these flushes and Balatro, but I am fucking drawing and junctioning, dog. I get it now. I finally get it. It is very obtuse, but it's creative. Everybody's so creative, including the Square Enix team in 1999 when they made this system. It's crazy. Like, what the fuck is this happening in this game too? It's like,
yeah,
it is. It is the one of the most bizarre setups and stories that
I think just why it didn't connect with me when I tried playing it.
I
could not get a handle on anything that was happening, and I was just like, what the fuck is this plot?
Eight is either someone's absolute favorite or someone does not give a fuck at all.
Yeah, but they got fucking sword guns.
Yeah, the gun breakers started with so Squall. Cool. It's so sick.
That's true. But I hate Squall.
Every Final Fantasy protagonist has like some kind of baggage that you uncover throughout the game, right? Squall is a wild dickhead. If you think Cloud is a dickhead, Squall's a
That's
wild
the thing.
Dickhead.
Like, I feel like Cloud got like the rep is like, oh, he's like the asshole. I'm like, no.
Squall's a dick.
Squall's a huge dick.
He is
entire game.
He's such an edgelord.
Yeah. Doesn't he end every line with like, whatever?
Yeah. He's a wild dickhead, but there's some baddies in Final Fantasy VIII though. The sorceress Ultimisia, like, listen.
Sure. Yeah. All right. You know, fair.
Questis, listen. That's my girl. You know what I'm saying?
The hockey team.
The Galbadia hockey team. You know what I'm saying? Final Fantasy VIII is wild. I'm there's so much of it I don't remember. Like, the thing with Final Fantasy VII is like, when I replayed that game, I remembered everything eventually. Like, everything. I forgot what happens next, but once it happens. Yeah. I start to connect it and be like, oh, yes, of course, this part of the game where this and this happens. Cool. With 8, I'm like, I don't fucking remember any of this shit. And it feels like replaying a new game that I've never experienced before in some weird way. Some of it, a lot of it is familiar, but I can't really get a grasp or recall like what the fuck is exactly happening. It feels like a fever dream. In a way that, like, this was the next mainline Final Fantasy.
The way it's designed is kind of like that, where, like, it feels like they had a bunch of ideas on a board and they said, put them all in the game.
Fucking Tetsuya Nomura was like, fuck yeah, dog, sounds good to me.
You know, like, at the beginning of the game, you're like, oh, okay, I'm at, like, a mercenary school. And then, like, they're like, Squall, the T-Rex is broken out of the paddock cage. You have to go do that. And I'm like, the what? I'm sorry. And then they're like, yeah, we have like a Jurassic Park over like in the back of the school.
It's our training center.
You have to go deal with that. And I'm like, okay. And then it's like, and then, yeah. And then you're like, there's a hockey team you fight. And then there's
like, hey, for your first, for your exam to graduate, you're gonna go fight a war.
And then you have to go fight a war.
Fight someone else's war and then come back. It's like, oh, you got an A+.
That's like the plot line I thought was.
Yeah.
That's like the double, you know, sort of, it's like, you know, the same Battle Royale mentality of just being like, or at least Battle Royale 2, where it's just like the survivors from the first Battle Royale started a war against the Japanese government. So then the next Battle Royale class was sent as soldiers to go fight the previous survivors of the Battle Royale class. Yeah. And it's one of those like,
I do like that element of the story, but I wish they like kept it going for the rest of the story.
I agree.
I do love the final dungeon of that game.
Eight's
final dungeon is like a Resident Evil Gothic castle. It's so cool. I was like, I don't know what's going on or why this is here, but this is sick. Like, so
I'll give it eight. Eight is that thing goes places, man. I'm at legitimately hyped to like keep playing that game. That's that on that. I'm gonna keep playing that. I'm gonna report to everyone I know I have a lot of friends who are Final Fantasy VIII stands, so I'm like texting them as I play through. It's fun. It's cool.
Well, I've been gaming like it's 2020 because I've been replaying Final Fantasy Remake because I don't remember much of it. And then I'm almost done with Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Ooh. Oh yes.
And I ordered Infinite Wealth because it was on sale. At Best Buy, so it's coming, and I'm excited to jump into that. But I'm almost done with Like a Dragon. I don't want to say where I'm at because it's kind of spoilery.
You had to earn a lot of?
I'm past that point. I'm well past that point. Well past that point. And I did all the grinding to fight those bosses that are pretty tough. Yep.
I gotta find a certain experience boosting item to help me for that.
I used Mr. Masochist, helped me a lot out for that which to protects you, but I still had to grind a lot because I'm trying to do all the sub stories, but I'm also trying not to like spend too much time. Like if I'm not interested in sub story, I'm just like skipping dialogue. And when you get to the arena, I was like, I'm not doing this.
I did the arena.
Just have left. To, though.
And then I was like, oh, no, I have to do this. And then I went back and did the arena twice. Went through it twice. Yes.
I've done
it.
You should be all right.
I've
then.
Done it more than a
couple. Well, I'm good. I beat them. I'm past that now. Yeah. And like, I think I'm at the start of chapter 13 or 14 or something like that. Okay. I think there's 15. Like
right at the end.
And then with 7, I met chapter 15, I think, when you scale the wall.
Oh, okay. Also getting...
Yeah. I'm enjoying replaying that game. I'm still, like, baffled at some of the stuff that they didn't cut from that game. There's so much in that game that does for not remake. Need to be there for remake that, like, blows... Like, just it just throws the pacing off so much when it's like, okay, we're going back into the sewers and we're chasing this little rodent around for way longer than you should.
Damn, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's just stuff like that, but, like... Like that game has like some incredible highs where I'm like hyped as fuck, and then some spots where I'm just like banging my head on the table. I'm like, why am I doing this? And please,
that is like Jake is like speaking to my like the therapist in me. Like that I had the same. Sort
you
of,
stopped though. I like this is the second time I'm doing this to myself.
I was like, there was a very clear moment when I was like, I'm done. I like the first 10. I always say that the first 10 hours of that game is like one of the best games I've ever played. Like. The setup of remake and like how they show like you as this hero and then how they show you as this terrorist is just one of the fucking best ways of like how they make you like they force you through that world. And then there's just some sections where it's like again it's like what the fuck are we doing? Like
you play a crane game in a warehouse.
That guy with the hat and the gray hair who like just starts giving his backstory out of nowhere and it's like I don't care. Shut up. Like,
Chocobo Dave?
No, not him. No, it's the guy who's like with what the fuck is
it's with Corny, the guy with Don Corny.
Cornetto.
Who like
I remember having that same reaction where I was like
it's like cuts to a flashback of this guy and his girlfriend who or whatever, and I'm just like, what are we doing here? Like, come on, just get me out of the fucking sewers.
I will never see you after this cutscene again.
But I mean, like, there are moments that I'm just like holy shit, this is so good. Like, I didn't get code for Rebirth, so I haven't played it. I don't really know much about it, so I'm excited to like finally get into that. I'm a little worried with how long it is, though.
It's very long.
Just because
we also have a lot coming out this month.
It's a lot coming out this month.
Yeah, you got Double D.
Got Double D 2. Yeah, Double D, I guess.
Rise of Ronin, Princess Peach.
All on the same day.
Yep.
Yeah.
All the same day too.
Yep.
Yeah. Ronin and Peach.
March 23rd or 22nd or something.
22nd. And then, I mean, there is a Lord of the Dark remake that is this month, so we'll see how that.
Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 2.
Over.
Yeah.
Dark Forces came out. Remake.
Dark Forces remastered.
Yeah, I actually really want to play that.
2 days ago, yesterday, whatever. Love that game. I played the shit out of that game when
Dark
I was a kid.
Horses,
The Splatoon 3 DLC comes out.
Oh, that's not already out? I really want to play it.
I think it comes out like tomorrow. Okay.
The near DLC.
Yeah, the one that looks like near.
Yeah.
Yeah. I played that for a preview and it was pretty good. So I'm excited to check that out.
Yeah. These games and I'm just bouncing between
Mud Runners.
Two 2020 games and Mud Runners.
Hey. You gotta play the 2020 and games. And Balatro. Oh my God. I'm gonna install that shit. I'm done with Balatro. I'm uninstalling
it. I got a code for it, but I loaded it up and was just like so tired and I like looked at it and like the guy was like explaining the things for like 2 seconds and I was like, I can't do this. I will say
like the tutorials in that game. Kind of put me off as well. Maybe I just don't like tutorials anymore, but like
tutorials need to get better or do it like how they used to do back in the day where they didn't have tutorials and you look at the manual.
I'd rather do that. Like figure it out on my own. But
I think Balatro is definitely a game you learn by poking at it.
But I think that was like the thing that I need because when I first started it up, it was like everything I did, it was like a pop-up. Like, here's what this does. Here's what that does. Here's what this does.
Yeah.
And
I think some of the explanations for some of the cards are bad, too.
And so, some of the explanations for the cards, too, like, just don't make sense. I'm like Callie's playing, too, and I'll be like, what does this mean? And she'll have to tell me. And and she knows because she's
done it enough times.
Yeah, like, yeah. But it is good. It is good. A lot of good games that have come out already. And it's
absolutely
not even March yet.
Yeah.
You're back in 2020. I'm back in 2011 and being a 55-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
Yeah.
I wish you were a 55-year-old woman.
I am.
dude, I'm gonna holler at you.
Send me a shirtless picture.
Yeah, if you are a 55-year-old woman, holler at me.
All right, well, you can holler at Michael over on his...
At Michael P. Heim on Twitter, baby!
Hit up his Cash App.
Yeah, and yes, you could be my sugar mama.
Kurt, where can the people find you?
Oh, and the remnants of the dimensions. if you like close your eyes and like think hard enough and like maybe like, I don't know, count back from 10 and like feel the weight of your feet on the ground, I might come up here in the ripples of your eyelids.
And hand
what
you
the
a
fuck?
Steam code for a
and tell you to play a hidden object game.
What if Remedy did a hidden object game?
They own controls.
You're talking about
so,
it.
So I mean, like, let me just do that for you. Like,
let them cook.
Me and Kurt have multiple Remedy projects. We're gonna be pitching.
Yeah, we got a few things cooking. I'm working on the business plan for a few of them.
We're gonna bombard them at GDC.
Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna just ambush them, and they're gonna be like,
open up a PowerPoint presentation.
I just program the shadows
on your laptop,
yeah. And it's gonna say in the big letters, like hidden object game Ellen Wake 2, like all of it. And then yeah, we'll get escorted out. It'll be great.
Yeah,
you can find me if you want.
Jake, what about you?
You can find me in the HOPA not safe for work section on the team, checking out
the milkers.
Yeah, the milkers or whatever. Creepy milk or whatever.
Spooky milk.
Cool. And you can find me, you can go to our YouTube channel, GameSpot, youtube.com/GameSpot, and watch all the fucking Final Fantasy stuff we've been putting out so much.
Next week, though, we got something cooking for Final Fantasy VII. This is going to be sick.
Yeah. Look forward to that. Mm-hmm. So thanks for watching, everyone. And we'll see you next time.
Deuces. Mm.